You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Brother Billy invited everybody to sit down, so I sat down. I thought it was my turn to sit down too. I didn't realize it was time to preach. Let me commend everybody for being back out in the house of God, being faithful. And what a week I've had. I don't know if you've had a great week or not, but I have had a wonderful, wonderful week this week. I've had a time of refreshing. It's been easy for me to preach here. Now, it's not always easy to preach places, but you guys have made it easy for me to preach. I've had plenty of liberty when I've preached. I really only got about a half dozen of you mad so far. I'll try to get the other half dozen tonight, maybe seven, and we'll have a baker's dozen, but I'll do my best. But no, I'm teasing. You guys have just been wonderful, and I really appreciate the welcoming spirit and appreciate the opportunity that's here that you guys have to serve the Lord. And it's one thing to attend and attend faithfully, and I commend you for that, but if you're not pulling on the oars yet, you need to jump in and start pulling on the oars of this church, because this church is on a trajectory to grow like this, and there's all going to be a lot more things to do. There's going to be a lot more classes to teach. There's going to be a lot more people doing things like welcoming committee and all of this stuff that has to be done at the church. And so I would just pray about, Lord, you just show me what you want me to do in my church to help this church to grow. I promise you, and if he does, just let me know. But I promise you that the pastor, if you go and say, hey, do you have something for me to do? He won't turn you away. Say, nah, bro, I don't have anything for you to do. I guarantee it, he will have something for you to do. But I do appreciate y'all. And the day started out wonderfully today. So I was with the men. They had a group, I guess, that meets, and they let an outsider come in, which is great. And I finally figured out who the theological mind was in the church, because Brother Todd did a great job in presenting and all the stuff that he did this morning. But every time the men were stumped, they called on Henry. It was little Henry over there, like, Henry, help us out. And there was Henry helping everybody out. It was wonderful. I bet they called on him like four or five times to bail him out. And Brother Little Henry was right there doing it. And I got to spend a little bit of time with Brother Jeremy and Henry today. He took me around. He showed me the cows and stuff. I only fell once. I did roll it. He didn't push me. He didn't push me. But he gave me a lot of lessons. He was giving me lessons on the wildflowers and the 27 kinds of grasses and all the different bugs and everything. And then he even gave me a very insightful class on manure. And he's like, I'm not making this up. This is before the Lord. I thought I was making it up when I was standing there watching it. I'm like, this ain't happening right now. He's like, now study and observe this really closely. He's like, it's got the texture of pumpkin pie. And I'm like, I ain't eating it. He's like, I know better than that. So I don't know how he knows the texture of pumpkin pie and that manure is the same thing. You ask Brother Jeremy out of after church tonight. But what a wonderful day, and got to spend a lot of time today with the Lord. Now, I can't get away from this faith thing. So I feel like, and I didn't even intend to do it. It wasn't that I set out to do something and talk about faith every day. But you know, Sunday morning we talked about saving faith. You know, that solo fide, that's Latin, it's faith alone is what saves us. And we saw that it was grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone that saves us. And it's not works of the flesh, it's not keeping the law, it's not baptism, it's not church membership, it's not how many times you've read your Bible, come to church, how many people you've invited to church, but it's through faith only, faith alone. And so we saw that saving faith that night, or that day. And then that night when we came back, we talked about the life of Elijah and about the faith during our most distressing times that could happen in our life, and how Elijah had all of those things, all the big miracles and stuff that the Lord performed through him. And despite all of that, he found himself on top of a hill wishing himself to be dead. And the Lord came to him and ministered to him through the angel. And then it's miraculous what he did after that. It's a lot of times, and us Baptists are kind of the worst for it. I can say something about Baptists because I've been one for 37 years. I don't know much about the Methodist. I don't know anything about Presbyterian. I have spent a lot of time with Baptists. And I know if any of us good Baptists had seen that person, we would have written them off probably. Said, well, you're washed up, you're done, you're whatever. And so we would have likely ran him out of the church and everything else, but God didn't do that. And then he still called fire down from heaven, even after going through the darkest times in his life. And then last night, we talked about living by faith. And so what it was to move and understand what God's doing and when he's working. And we looked at the life of Habakkuk. And even though Habakkuk, you know, he was perplexed, he didn't know what God was doing. And then it made it really worse what God told him that he was going to do. And then he said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then the Lord tells him that the just shall live by faith. And so we talked about the just living by faith. So tonight, I want to talk about serving by faith. And if you have your Bibles, flip over with me to the Gospel of Matthew. That's much easier for you to find than Habakkuk. But the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 20. And I'm going to read a portion of Scripture here when we found our place that's really kind of a as we would say, a dome scratcher. And so when we read it, our flesh wants to rebel against it. As soon as we read it, we're like, nah, it doesn't seem right. And our flesh wants to push back and to say, this doesn't seem to be fair. Now, Americans, the other good thing that American Baptists are really good at, not American Baptist denomination, but Baptists who are American, are really, really great at is saying this is not fair. Everything's not fair. Life's not fair. Everything's not fair. You're right. It's not. That's just because it's life. But if you'll look with me in Matthew chapter number 20, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour. So that's noon. He went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, so that'd be noon and 3 o'clock, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, that's 5 o'clock, in verse number 6, he goes back out. He went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here idle all day? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever's right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. So he's going to pay them. So the book of Deuteronomy instructed folks back then that at the end of every day, they got paid. And so he said, bring them on in and let's get them paid. He said, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that was the last guys that went into the field. They worked 1 hour. They received every man a penny. That's like, man, that's pretty good news, right? But when the first came, that's the guys that was there for 12 hours that day, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. So the people that worked 1 hour got a penny. The people that worked 12 hours got a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do that or to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, when your flesh reads that, there's something, especially if you've ever had a job, whether it's a public job or not, but if you ever had a job and it's like, man, I worked 12 hours and I got a penny, and this dude worked 1 hour and he got a penny, something seems wrong with that. I don't like that. And that's our flesh kind of bucking up against that and saying, man, that is just, something's wrong with that. Now, to understand this, and we're going to go through a few things tonight, and I'm going to walk you down through the scriptures. But to understand this, we got to understand the bigger context of what's going on. So if you're new and starting to read your Bible and starting to study your Bible, you'll see that Matthew chapter number 20, the very first word, starts off with for the kingdom of heaven. Now, this for, sometimes you'll see for in the English language used as a preposition, and you'll see the object of the preposition after that. But here, the for is conjunctive. That means that it's connecting what went before. So in order to understand Matthew 20, 1 through 15, you have to understand the context of what's going on when we get there. And so the context of the scripture is found in Matthew chapter number 19, and we won't read all the verses, but let me tell you the story. So there was a young man who came. He was a rich young ruler. And he came to the Lord and he said, good master, what should I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, follow what the commandments say. And so he lists off all the commandments. And he said, well, which one should I teach? Which one should I keep? And the Lord chose him. And he said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. I've done all of that. And he said, yet there's one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible said that this young, rich young ruler went away because he had great riches and he went away sorrowfully. And then the Lord said these words that every one of you probably can quote. He said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Now, I have seen expositors and non-expositors try to figure out what in the world that means. Does that really mean that rich people can't get saved? Does it mean that it's just difficult for them to get saved? Sometimes some guys will say, well, you know, you had the camel gate there at entrance into the city of Jerusalem, and it was so low that you had to take the load off the camel's back, and the camel had to get on its knuckles or whatever camels have and kind of crawl underneath there. So they could do it. It was just a little difficult to do it. And then others say, hey, you know, rich people just can't be saved. Now, I mean, that's good for me because I'm poor, so I appreciate that. But that's still not the case. It's not that it's difficult for a rich person to get saved. It's not that it is hard for a rich person to get saved. Jesus said it's impossible for them to get saved. Now watch this. He said it's impossible. You don't believe me. Look over your Bible in Matthew chapter number 19. I'll pick up the story in verse number 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, verse number 24, than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible. Now then, is he talking about what we're thinking he's talking about, that rich people themselves can't be saved? No, because if you think about it, Peter and them were all poor. They gave everything away, and we'll see that in just a second, but they gave away everything that they had. So Peter's question would make absolutely no sense if that's what the Lord meant, that it was impossible for rich people to ever be saved. So Peter said, who then can be saved? Well, he wouldn't have needed to ask that question if he knew that it was impossible for rich people to go, because the obvious answer is poor people could, right? So if rich people can't, poor people could. So why in the world ask this question to start with? The reality is, in and of ourselves, it's impossible for any of us to get saved. So with man, look at your Bible again and see what it says. It said, and Peter said unto him, behold, or I'm sorry, go back up, verse number 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's the good news of the gospel. That is, whether we're rich or poor, black or white, if we came from the wrong side of the track or the right side of the track, if we grew up in church, we grew up out of church, regardless of what it is, it's just as impossible for that unsaved person to save themselves as it is anybody else. You say, how then does a person get saved? Well, with man, it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible, because we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Then Peter asks a question. Good old Peter. You can always rely on him when you're studying Scripture, that he's going to say something that's going to help your message. So look at your Bible in verse number 25. And when his disciples heard it, they were extremely amazed. Who then can be saved? Verse 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all, we followed thee, what are we going to get? And Jesus answered the question. Verse 28, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when you see the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Then he starts with the parable that we have in chapter 20. It actually starts in the last verse of chapter 19. Look at the last verse in chapter number 19, verse number 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Look at verse 16 of Matthew chapter number 20. So the last shall be first, the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. In order to understand this parable that the Lord has for us, we need to understand it in the context of Peter, of the rich young ruler coming in and asking him what he needed to do to be saved. We need to understand it in the context of Peter saying, man, Lord, we've given everything away. There's nothing that we've held on to. We've given every single thing away. And we have followed you. We followed you through the good times. We followed you through the bad times. We've not wobbled on the axle, although they did a little bit. And we've been here every step of the way. What am I going to get out of this? As a matter of fact, in one of the other gospels, one of the mamas came up and said, after hearing this, said, hey, my two sons that are with you, James and John, what are they going to get? Could you give them to sit on your right hand and on your left hand? So mama was stumping for them politically to get a position in the afterlife. But Jesus said what's going to happen is that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now as we look at the parable before us, now we're talking about serving God. When we look at the parable before us, the clue, the key to unlocking this parable where it makes sense for us is in verse number 2 of chapter number 20. Look at your Bible. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, he sent them into the vineyard. The guys that went out at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour, what did he say to them? He said, whatever is right, I'll give you. In order for them to agree, there must have been a negotiation going on. Well, how much are you going to charge to come out and work for me today? Well, I usually get this much. Well, okay, maybe I'll pay you that much. And so they went back and forth and bartered, and finally they agreed on something. They had a contract, a verbal contract with each other that still carries over, the idea still carries over into the laws that we have in our land today. So they're sitting here with a legal contract. And after they had worked all 12 hours, the good man of the house fulfilled that contract to the letter. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He gave every one of them a penny. There is a danger in our Christian life in getting with a getting a legal relationship with God and not a love relationship with God. God, I'll serve you if. Lord, I'll go if. Father, if you send me, I'll do this, but I want this. Lord, I'll preach, but I don't want to be a missionary. God, I'll preach, but I don't want to be a pastor. I didn't either, and thank the Lord he didn't call me to be one. I told another brother I'd split a church in 2 weeks. I'm a stump puller. I have no personality. I've got the personality of a stick pin. All of y'all would hate me in 3 months. That's why Brother Billy only keeps me here for 3 days, and then I'm gone. But the danger of getting into a legal relationship with God. See, we are saved by faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Guess what? Our sanctification comes after salvation, and our growth and our maturity as Christians, that sanctification that's progressive in our lives as we grow in the Lord, we get saved, we begin reading our Bible, we start coming to church, we start laying aside weights, we start laying aside sins, we mess up a little bit, we come back, we go through this whole cycle of growth just like any normal child would go through a cycle of growth. And as we keep going, we keep maturing in the Lord. The danger that we fall into is when we put caveats, when we put conditions on the Lord about what we are willing to do and what we're not willing to do. And so I feel like, and that's why we're back to talking about this serving by faith, but I can't get away from it, because I feel like that the Lord has been dealing with at least one person, if not more, about this idea of serving him in some capacity. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I do not know. But I feel like God has been dealing with somebody about this thing. And what we have been doing, what you have been doing, is you have been bargaining with God. And the outcome's not going to be exactly what you want. See, he agreed with these guys for a penny. He entered a contract. All he owed them legally was that penny. Now watch this. As you get into a legal agreement, as you get into a law agreement with the Lord, as you get into that instead of a legal relationship, instead of a love relationship with God, you're going to come out on the short end every single time. But the guys, when he went at the ninth hour, nobody had hired them. And he said, well, whatever's right, I'll do that. And they said, okay, man, I want to go to work. And so he put them to work. Did that same thing at the noon hour, did the same thing at the 3 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. And all he said, as you look back down through the verses here in chapter number 20, he said, whatever's right, that's what I'm going to do. We serve God by faith. We serve God by the grace that he gives us, without thought for return. If you're looking for something, he's already given it to you if you're saved. He said, what? Know you not that you've been bought with a price? Your body's not your own. You're not your own anymore. When you gave that up at Calvary, when the Lord saved you, you became his lock, stock, barrel, radiator cap, and everything else. You belong to God. And as a servant of God, the God of heaven says, go do this. And I say, yes, sir, I'll go do that. And God give us the grace to do that every single time he asks us to do something. But yet sometimes what we want to do is we're nervous about it. We're afraid about it. I was thinking about Brother Billy and coming up here. He came up here to candidate, and he was doing a great work down at Rosedale Baptist Church, and the church was big, and the RU, is that what it's called, Brother Billy? The RU program was really big, and it was thriving, and it was growing, and people were getting saved, and God was using him, and he's like, I'm going to go to Brimley, Michigan. And I said, where is that? And he said, in the Upper Peninsula. I did not know that Michigan was divided. I thought the Civil War was over. But there's an Upper Peninsula and a lower part, I guess. And I heard that the lower part, they're called trolls or something. I have no idea what you call me from Baltimore. But he said, I'm going up there. And the first time I came here, about 4 years ago or something, I said this the other day, but there was very few people relative to this crowd tonight, very few people that are here. In just this short time, you've seen, by the grace of God, working in your pastor's heart, working in your pastor's wife's heart, what God can do with a surrendered person. It's yet to be seen, young man, young lady. It's yet to be seen what God can do with somebody who is completely sold out for Him. It's amazing what God could do with somebody that is completely sold out to Him. There was this young man named Dwight, and he didn't play on The Office. It's a different young man, but there was this guy named Dwight, and he had gotten saved. He was a shoe guy. So he sold shoes and stuff, and I think he was in Chicago, and he sold shoes at a shoe store. And there was this guy that came around and witnessed to him, and he got saved. And little Dwight, he went on to church, and the pastor preached, and the pastor said exactly what I said. He said, it's yet to be seen what God could do with a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that will completely sell out for me. And Dwight Lehman Moody stood up, and he said, I'll be that man. And God took him and shook two continents with Moody. Moody was an uneducated man. When you compare Moody and Spurgeon, Spurgeon was a highly educated man. Moody was not a highly educated man. As a matter of fact, when you try to read his writings, it's like a third or fourth grader who's written stuff. But it didn't matter how well he could write. It did not matter how well he was educated. It did not matter if he was an extrovert or if he was an introvert, if he was awkward, if he was shy. Whatever the excuses are that you've been giving for not serving God, it does not matter, because when you're not in a law, legal relationship with God, the grace of God will come into your heart. The grace of God will come into your life, and He can use you if you'll let Him do it so that He gets all the glory. Somebody say amen, jeepers. Amen. That's good. I don't care if I did say it, that was good. But listen, if we're bargaining though, if we want to bargain about it, God can't use us. God can do anything He wants to, but God won't use us like He would if we were just surrendered. And we said, Lord, whatever You want, that's what I want in my life. And it doesn't have to be full-time Christian service. It doesn't have to be. Maybe it's just getting something right with a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's just getting something right with a family member or something like that. Maybe it's just doing a little something in the church. Maybe it's, and this is not a little something, I've done it a lot, but vacuuming the church and sweeping the church and doing all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's running a bus route. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school program once you guys are in that mode and the building's done. Maybe it's volunteering your time to come out and work on the building. Maybe it's to go on a foreign mission field. Maybe it's a call to preach. I don't know what God has for you, but the great thing is God has something for you, because God did not save you to sit on a church bench and warm the bench and not be in the game. I know a lot about that. I played high school basketball, and I rode the pine all 4 years. Tugging on the coach's sleeve going, gee, coach, is it my turn yet? We're up 50. Can you put me in, coach? But listen, God wants to use you. Isn't that an amazing thing? You say, yeah, but I'm this and I'm that. Nobody really likes me. Guess who loves you? God loves you. It doesn't matter if you have a personality like a stick pin like I do. It doesn't matter if you're socially awkward like I am. God can use anybody that's willing to surrender their life to Him. And when we're not negotiating with God, when we have that love relationship with God and not that legal relationship with God, life is so much better. The Christian life, serving God, gets so much easier, if I can use that word. Laying aside weights gets that much more easy to be able to do those things, because God is able to work in you. Because the thing of it is, God's not going to share glory with anybody. The adversary tried that and it didn't work. He got evicted. He said, I'm going to put my throne above God's throne. And that didn't work out real well. But if you'll humbly submit to God, if I'll humbly submit to God, my life ain't over yet. I look like it's about over. But my life ain't over yet. But if you and me both submit to what God wants for our lives, listen, your life is not over. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're still in the game. You don't have to pull on the coach's sleeve and say, Coach, is it time for me to go in? Because He's already said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. He's already given the church the Great Commission. I don't know, you're like, well, I'm just kind of sitting around trying to figure out what God's will is. God's will is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell somebody, I don't care if you're doing it in England or if you're doing it right across the street or you're doing it at the family homecoming, God has called us to share the gospel with other people. Now, let me get real here for just a second. Some of the hardest people I have ever witnessed to is my own family. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? After I got saved, and I have a wonderful family, but after I got saved, I began to realize that I was becoming closer and closer with the brothers and sisters in Christ at church than I was with my own flesh and blood. You say, why? We had more in common. Now, we had common ancestry, we had common blood, if you could trace an O'Donnell back to wherever it came from. We had some kind of something that connected us all in the back. But man, there's something about fellowship with a fellow believer in Christ. That's why you can not see a brother or sister for a very long time in Christ and see them and pick up just like you had just seen them the other day and start talking again. Be 100% comfortable. Why? Because you share a common heavenly Father and we're all in the same family. But man, when you try to go to homecoming or you try to go to Thanksgiving dinner and you want to talk about Jesus and your family ain't saved, that is tough. That's the toughest crowd. Now, it may be easy for y'all, but that's the toughest crowd that I've ever had to witness to was my own family. Part of that may be because they knew what I was like before I got saved. I don't know why it is, but I just know that it is. It's tough to do that when you have unsaved family, to be able to present the gospel to them. A lot of times you have to almost, you'll want to go and get somebody else to go and witness to your family. And you say, hey, I'll go witness to yours. You come witness to my house. Just because it's like that. But whatever your excuse has been, whatever your bargain has been, whatever it is that you're trying to hold back or hold out on God, you belong to Him. I belong to Him. And He loves us so much that He wants us to serve Him. Listen, God could have used angels to deliver the gospel had He wanted to. But He chose the preaching and the telling of the gospel. When I say the preaching of the gospel, I'm not just limiting that to pastors and evangelists and those kind of things. Every one of us preach. The Bible said that Jesus said that we're the light of the world, that we're the salt of the earth. We are epistles known and read of all men. A lot of people will never pick up their Bible. Your lost family members will never pick up their Bible. The only Bible they'll ever see is mine in your life, and I wonder what they see. Do they see the love of God? Do they see the surrendered heart? Listen, it takes faith to do that. These fellas, the 3 o'clock guys, noon guys, 9 o'clock guys, and the 11 o'clock guys, every one of them went by faith because he said, whatever is right, that's what I'm going to do. They trusted the good man of the house to do what was right. And can I say this, man, as humbly as I know how, the God of the whole universe will do right. Amen. He will always do right in your life. And I get that that first step of obedience is scary. I know that the first step, that Brother Billy had been going by signs and wonders and that kind of stuff. When he came up here and candidated, he would have gotten that ticket from that police person and said, yeah, this is not for me. I'm going back down to Maryland and I'm getting out of this place. But yet, he surrendered his heart. Ain't you glad that he was sensitive to God and surrendered his heart and now he's your pastor? Isn't that a wonderful thing? But guess what? Every single one of us can be a blessing to somebody else if we just find the spot that God wants us to be in and to serve him without reservations, without restrictions, without negotiation, and say, Lord, I am completely surrendered to you. Romans chapter number 12, the Apostle Paul said in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Listen to this, which is your reasonable service. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, because you're God's. You belong to him. He's bought us with his precious blood, and we belong to him. And I know that maybe you're wrestling with something. Maybe you're not. I didn't eat the garlic bread before supper tonight, before church tonight. And so I'm not having any kind of weird visions or dreams up here. I'm just trying to tell you that I feel like God wants somebody to do something and to stop stalling, stop waiting, stop bargaining, stop trying to figure it out and just say, Lord, whatever it is, I'm doing it. Now, as they come to the instruments, let me make another proposition to you. If you don't feel like God has dealt about something specific, young people, I'm speaking to you as well as the old people that are in here. Listen, if you felt like God has not dealt with you specifically, you ought to come and not be afraid and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? That's a terrifying thing. That's open slate. That's open books. Like, God, what is it that you want me to do in your service? And I guarantee it, you'll get on that path. The old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say it like this. He said, get on the possum's trail of God's perfect will for your life and don't let nothing or nobody sidetrack you. Buddy, you get on that trail and you stay on that trail with God, and God will show you what to do, and God will use you. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you stand up, please. I know this was a service message tonight, and I've loved being here. Man, I've loved being here with y'all. Thank you so much for letting me be here. I've had just a wonderful time. I told Mama today, my wife on the phone today, I said, I've had just such a wonderful time. I don't know when I've preached at a church or preached in a revival meeting where I've gotten so much help myself. And I know it's that way. It's a service kind of oriented thing. But if you're not here and you're not saved, if you're here and you're not saved, man, I would just chunk whatever pride, position, popularity. I wouldn't let nothing or nobody take me to hell. I would get that right with God. But listen, if you're here tonight and you say, preacher, God has dealt with me, or he's not dealt with me, or he's dealing with me, and I want to come out of my own accord, and I'm going to get on the altar and I'm going to pray and say, God, take my life and use it for whatever you want it to be. Would you be willing, for the God that did so much for you, would you be willing to say, Lord, I'll be in your service and do what you want to do? I'm not going to pray or anything. We're just going to play on the instruments. Brother Billy can come. Pastor can say whatever he needs to say. But I just invite you, just come up here and pray and just tell God what it is. Lord, whatever it is, I want you to be in my life, and I want to do what you want me to do. Come on and pray. Lord, we love you and thank you. As folks are coming to the altar, more need to come tonight. And Lord, we bless you and we thank you and we magnify you for everything that you've done in this service. Lord, thank you for your tender compassion, the heart of God that won't even stomp out a smoking reed. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the grace tonight to submit to you, to the one who bought us, to the one who owns us, to the one who saved us, and said, Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do it. There's people that are in this church tonight, Lord, that they can only reach. There's some people that only they can reach. And if they don't step out, Lord, they're going to miss the opportunity to add to the kingdom, to serve you, and to do the will of God. Lord, bless this church. Bless this church and the growth here. I pray for the preacher and his wife and his family. I pray that you would bless them. Bless all the families here, Lord. Such good people here. Thank you for their spirit. Thank you for everything that they've done. And I just pray, God, now that you would continue to work in this service. And Lord, that you would draw that one that needs to surrender tonight to you.
Is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior? Is there one person here that would say, you know what, I've never put my faith in Jesus Christ. If I were to die today, I know I would be eternally separated from God in hell. Maybe the Lord's tugging on you. Clint and Spring are up here. They want to take some time. They want to pray with you. They want to show you how much Jesus loves you. Are you willing to come? Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. In this crowd, I remember the day in 2007 when God was working on me and saying, are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? And I didn't listen at first. And it was some of the hardest years of my life. And when I finally said, God, you can have it all. It has been the best years of my life that has brought me amongst some of the best people that I will ever know in my entire life. But it didn't come from resisting. It came from surrendering. And it sure didn't come from making deals with God. You got to stop making deals with God. And you just got to say, you got to trust him. He's not out to hurt you. What he calls you to is going to be a blessing for you. See, I need this place more than this place needs me. But the Lord has allowed me to be in this place to serve him. And it's been a blessing to my soul. He wants to bless you in that same way, to surrender your life to him. Are you willing to say, God, I surrender all and mean it? You know, we're just going to take a couple more minutes and the altar's open, and maybe God's working on your heart and you feel like, hey, God's calling you to pastor. God's calling you to the mission field. You might not be sure of all the details, but maybe you need to come up and talk to Brother Tim. Come up and talk to me. Come up and talk to Clint and Spring and say, God is doing this in my life. Let us help walk you through and hold your hand to help you get to the place where, man, God wants you to be. And as we have just a couple more minutes, the altar's open. Don't worry about the person next to you, behind you, or in front of you. Just worry about one person, the Lord. And if he's calling you to bow before him today, then you're too ashamed. Hey, listen, bow the knee. Father, I love you, and I thank you for being a good master. I love the scriptures that you laid on Brother Tim's heart that, you know, can I not do with what is mine, what I want to do with it? Can you say that I'm not good? Lord God, we know you're good. Lord, you daily loadeth us with benefits. Lord, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Lord God, you take care of yours and your own. Lord God, I pray that that person that you are working on at this moment, Lord, that's wrestling, that's fighting against, Lord God, I pray that you'd bring them to a place of sweet surrender. Lord God, and I pray that you would make this church a church that is surrendered. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be like the Laodicean church that's living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I pray that we wouldn't be like the church at Ephesus that has lost their first love. Lord God, I pray that you would come to us and that you'd help us to get right in these last days, to have ears to hear, to know what it is that you desire of us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I think about what that Sunday school teacher said. I've not seen a man fully surrendered, you know, that God can't use in a mighty way, Lord God. And I pray that you would do some amazing things with your people, Lord. We know it's you that does the work. Lord, we ask and pray, Father, that your word would not return void as you promise us, Lord, but that it would go home in our hearts, Lord, and that we would surrender, Lord, our wills to you, Lord, and watch you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, Lord, not just in this church, but in our lives. Father, we love you, and I thank you so much, Father God. I asked all this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's have the worship team come on up.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.